Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to HopeCast, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
A simple fix. Our old black and white TV was very temperamental. It seemed to have a mind of its own, working some nights, but not on other nights. Sometimes when turning it to the station for the very show that the whole family finally agreed to watch, it would fade in and out unless one of us stood by the antenna, touching it in some awkward manner. It was different, of course, for each and every station. And sometimes someone would have to become the antenna, a nightly living out of the good of the many being sacrificed by the good of the one. How come on certain days, particular stations would be clear, but on those same channels would receive no signals on other days? It absolutely made no sense to any of us. In this pre-technologically advanced civilization, just post-radio but pre-cable, black and white television rules the waves, and color was just being invented. Power was now being determined by the number of transistors, but tubes still dominated the electronic landscape. One evening, as we are all trying to watch the wonderful world of Walt Disney, when the unthinkable happened. The picture on the television started to slowly roll up from the bottom of the television screen. Even at 8 years of old, the family called me Mr. Fix-It, as I was the one always taking things apart to see how they worked. And sometimes I was even able to put them back together again. In keeping with my assigned role, I rushed to the television to twirl the vertical hold knob, and the scrolling slowed down to a crawl. But there was simply not enough adjustment to make it stop. For weeks then, our family endured watching programs like Bonanza, The Beverly Hillbillies, The Red Skelton Show, and The Ed Sullivan Show, with the screen flipping up and up and faster, up and up, ever faster, and this television channel had quickly developed into a family crisis. No one was happy. Everyone was complaining. Apparently, we had all developed a screen addiction, even in 1962, before it became so popular. We desperately needed a fix for our compulsion. But my dear parents were a single-income family living on the meager salary of my father's teaching salary. That was the norm of that day for those who experienced both the Second World War and the Great Depression. They were responsible, and they managed money, unlike my baby boomer generation. But sadly, we just did not have the disposable income to pay for a TV repairman, never mind purchase a new television. My favorite shows were the original nature documentaries, ZooQuest with Sir David Attenborough, and True Life Adventures with Walt Disney on Sunday nights. And I was going to have to miss both of them that weekend. In desperation, I again called my uncle, who was an electrical engineer. He was teaching at a trade school, and as he had helped me before with the television, I asked him this time what he would do in this situation. Although he had previously instructed me, he firmly reminded me that without the safety protocols of unplugging the television and waiting 30 minutes to elapse before touching anything to allow that capacitor to drain. Otherwise, I could receive an electrical jolt that would be completely lethal. He strictly told me not to take the back of the television off until I had done these two mandatory things. I was then to make a detailed map of all the tubes inside the TV, label each tube with a number on a piece of tape, and then I was to make sure that I wrote that number, the name, and the product ID of each tube onto the location of the map that I just created. Then I was to take all of the tubes out of the television, place them in a box, all the while being careful not to touch that large picture tube or the silver-colored metal capacitor. I was then instructed to take the map and all of these tubes in the box to one of the many local hardware stores that dotted our commercial landscape and place the tubes one by one into the ubiquitous tube testers that were found at virtually every store. I was then to make careful notes on that map for each of the tubes' potency, green, yellow, or red. For only those tubes showing red and yellow, I was to purchase new tubes with the exact product number as the old ones, and then replace all the tubes faithfully into the assigned positions as noted on the map. Well, that seemed like such a simple fix to me, so that when my mom was out shopping and my father was teaching, without their permission, I precisely followed my uncle's prescription, completing all of these steps exactly as he outlined them. At the hardware store, I discovered that one tube was in the red failure zone, and it was the vertical hold tube, which to me was no surprise at all. But the contrast tube also was in the yellow zone, almost touching the red. I asked the clerk if he had these two particular specific replacement tubes according to the numbers, and he did, and then he gave me the price. I packed up all of the old tubes, but I knew it was in trouble when my father pulled in to our driveway in the red Volkswagen Beetle just ahead of me. As I went into the house and he saw the open back of the television set with no tubes in it, he spun in his heel to glare at me, the usual suspect. Yes, the evidence was insurmountable. I had all of the tubes in my little box in my hand. He was so mad at me, and he began to yell, probably as much as he was frightened that I could have been electrocuted, as I was doing radical open heart surgery on his television without his permission. I was trying to explain the reasons to justify my actions and tell him the good news that the television could be fixed for only $7. But my dad was not in the mood to listen, but only to loudly lecture me on the dangers of my exaggerated self-confidence. That is when my mother walked in to all of this fuss that I had created. She was able to calm my father down so that I could explain in tremendous detail the step-by-step methodology and safety protocols taught to me by my uncle on the phone that I had laboriously and meticulously followed. But now my fuming father suddenly was mad at my uncle and wanted to give him a piece of his mind. Why, he had put his son in mortal danger. Other people, adults, had been electrocuted, killed by merely putting their hands into a back of a TV set. I once again tried to reassure him, but there was no convincing him that night, and the television remained broken. The next day was Friday, and my father's favorite show, Gunsmoke with Matt Dillon, was playing that night, but not with a broken television. When my dad got home at 5 p.m. that evening, he had cooled down and he said to me, "Get in the car and bring the tubes with you." I showed him how I evaluated them and how those two particular tubes were defective according to the instruments that were calibrating them at the store. He begrudgingly purchased the two needed replacement tubes. And when we got home, he closely watched me as I explained to him my map and the carefully replaced all of the tubes as noted. Then when we plugged in the television, I breathed out a sigh of relief because it actually worked. We were all so happy and our whole family celebrated. Gunsmoke was saved. Walt Disney could once again have a wonderful world, and I could continue to explore exotic vistas with Sir David Attenborough. Even my father thanked me. Would you believe it? Now my dad was so proud of me that he literally told everybody how he knew that at 8 years, merely 8 years of age, was able to fix the television set. Suddenly I was elevated to the stature of some sort of up-and-coming electrical genius. It was not humility, but pure honesty that made me constantly interject and correct this undue adulation, even though it felt great to be recognized by such an academic father. I repeatedly told him it was just a simple thing. It was a simple fix. I merely listened to my technologically gifted uncle and followed his instructions to the letter. Now, that did not matter to my dad, as he continued to brag about me to anyone that would listen. Would you believe it? I soon had neighbors, family members, friends of my parents, friends of friends, and some complete strangers asking my mother if their son could perhaps look at their television set. From the time I was 8 years old, I started to use the explicit process stipulated to me by my uncle to serve others' TV sets and made a $5 profit for every set that I repaired. Everyone marveled at how an 8-year-old could so easily renovate their television. But to me, as I vigilantly followed my uncle's directives, it just always seemed to be a simple fix. It was just science. If you followed the rules to the letter, then most of the time the repair could be made. Later, when I became a Christian and a counselor, I realized that much of life was just like this. If you read God's holy word with an open mind and the heart of a learner, then do exactly what God says. These things were far more likely to work out in life for you. The Bible is like that ultimate repair manual, and the Holy Spirit is sort of like my uncle whispering into my ear. I need to follow God's instructions and take his prescriptions to have a life that works. Too often we let our lives flip out of control. We lose our contrast and brightness. We dim as we let our tubes burn out. We give up on life or try to take matters under our own control by trying to fix ourselves without obeying his directions. But when we do that, we're in for quite a shock. Instead, we must unplug ourselves and rest on God and then ask him for help and then do exactly what he says. God promises us in James 1:5 that if you need wisdom and ask our generous God, he will give it to you. The Holy Spirit says to us all in Proverbs 3:1-2, my child, never forget the things that I've taught you. Store up my commands in your heart. And if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be that much more satisfying. You see, the fix is just that simple. Listen to God. Now, if you enjoy this story, go on Spotify or on Taking TV or over to our YouTube channel, Hopecasts, and we'll see you there for more stories. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into Hopecasts for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecasts.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our Hopecasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. My hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering.
If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?